good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. In the name of the Father, and of His Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, we have in today's gospel one of the many times our Lord taught in the form of a parable. And perhaps I could say that So we thank our Lord for making his divine teaching so clearly made to us, so obvious made to us. And we know what we have to do. We have to be good trees. And this is a way to tell if others are a good tree. Look at the fruit. So again, our Lord is that infinitely perfect teacher. What an example to all those who are called to the noble vocation of being a teacher. And you know that being a teacher is not, those of you that have been doing it for any number of years know that there's a real art and a science to it. I remember my father teaching me a really great point on teachers. When I was a teenager, I often, during the summer months, worked alongside him in his land surveying job. And I just can't say enough about how wonderful an experience that was, the bonding I experienced with my father. I didn't realize it at the time, just a young kid, just had so much to learn. And I look back with great fondness on those times. And of course, I wasn't the greatest worker. I had to do a man's job, and I fell short at times, just being young and immature at times, not wanting to do the hard labor that was involved. But he needed me to help, to be able to, to get the work done. He wasn't always able to hire other workers. But anyway, the point is, one day we were laying a drainage pipe as part of a surveying job he was doing, and we had a couple of helpers. One of them was a teacher during the regular school year, but at a certain point I heard him complaining that sawmill workers made more money than teachers. And he was really unhappy about that. And my father, respectfully, but kind of took him to task and said, listen, you have to realize how important a role this is of being a teacher. You're helping mold the next generation. And that is of a greater dignity than just sawing wood. Of course, my father wasn't disparaging, you know, lumber yard workers, but he was just trying to get across the point of what a noble, magnificent thing it is to be a teacher. And of course, the divine teacher is the ultimate standard for all teachers to look to. But here's the danger. It is we sometimes tend to look, we look at our Lord's teachings, we hear them, but kind of superficially, we don't let them really sink in. And there is work that we have to do when it comes to our Lord's teachings, and we have to really let those teachings sink into us. How do we do that? Well, this is the tremendous importance of meditation. We have to let these teachings of our Lord be absorbed by us. Remember that gospel we hear, as a matter of fact, I can make a quick reference to it on Sexagesima Sunday every year. Our Lord talks about the sower goes out to seed. Some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot. The birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell upon rock. Other seed fell among thorns. And our Lord describes how the seed is the word of God. This teaching that if we live it, will make good fruit in our lives and lead us to heaven. But as we can see, so often it doesn't get absorbed. Those by the wayside, those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes it from their hearts. Those on the word of God falls on the rock, but they have no root. And in time of temptation, fall away. And that which falls among thorns, these are the people that are caught up with the pleasures and the cares and riches of life. So there our Lord explains why the word of God doesn't have the effect that it should, because it doesn't soak in. But a absolutely sure and tried way to make sure that the word of God soaks into us from the divine teacher is to meditate. You know, St. Alphonsus Liguori, the great doctor on prayer, the great teacher about prayer, and again, you can't read enough, I think, the St. Alphonsus' exhortation to prayer. He says that, you know, who prays will save his soul. He who does not pray will not save his soul. But he also says that every Catholic needs to meditate, every Catholic adult. Why? So that the word of God will soak in and really become part of us. So meditation is something that he could not encourage highly enough. And he had a very high recommendation. I mean, upwards of half an hour or more every day. But what I'm asking you to do to make sure you have in your daily life is at least 15 minutes of meditation in the morning. Why? So that the word of God can really sink into your soul. Otherwise, you run the danger of it just sloughing off, not really making that big of a difference in your life, not helping you to have the good tree which will produce good fruit. You know, what's interesting is in our modern age, which has amazing technological discoveries, you can actually prove right now something that St. Alphonsus did not know some 250, 300 years ago. And that is that meditation literally reprograms the brain in a good way. assuming you're meditating on good things. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, Eastern meditation, yoga. By the way, the problem with yoga is that it's very self-centering. It doesn't focus on God. It focuses on self. And also the poses in yoga are literally taken from the Hindu religion. So this is something a Catholic could never participate in. I mean, exercise is good, but we have to have the right kind of meditation. And say no, and again, this is what the church has constantly taught, to the value of meditation. St. Alphonsus would also say, have that heart-to-heart talk with God. That's what makes it not just meditation, but mental prayer. And that would be the goal for meditation. To not just think and think deeply, which is good, but talk to God heart to heart. You are praying, you are doing good mental prayer. That's what prayer should lead us to God, not to self. But as I was saying, the technological marvels of our age, we can literally, well, as you've heard of MRIs, where you know, they can see a lot of what's going on in the brain. And whenever, this is scientifically proved that when people meditate, we see good changes happening in the brain. I mean, this is a physical result, not just the spiritual result we already know. The brain has a feature, as neurologists would call it, plasticity. And this is why meditation is so highly recommended, not just spiritually, but even we have the scientific proof for it. So when you see these various problems you're struggling with in your daily life, to be that good tree that our Lord says we must be, you need to meditate more. Meditate on, take any teaching of our Lord, let it soak in. Meditate on it. Talk to our Lord heart to heart. Make a good resolution. You will be so much better prepared for whatever will happen that day. So, again, we want our Lord's teachings to sink, to really absorb them. The devil will help us. Well, we know we are always fighting the devil, our own fallen nature, and that's our greatest enemy, and the world. They're going to create all kinds of excuses why not to pray. Dispel those excuses. Fight them off. Don't make those excuses. By the way, this is why the rosary is so powerful, because it combines vocal prayer with mental prayer. You're meditating on the life of our Lord, the life of our Lady. That's the meditative part. But you're also praying at the same time. But you see, we also need time just for meditation. St. Teresa of Avila says that it is impossible, that, in other words, this is so valuable, so powerful. She says it's impossible for mortal sin and mental prayer to coexist in the same soul. The person will give up one or the other. Meditate on the fires of hell. This is something we need to do at least from time to time. I mean, how can you keep on sinning if you've let our Lord's teaching on the everlasting fire become more part of you? But obviously, this is not the only thing we meditate on. We meditate on those things that will help us to love God, but we must not forget a holy fear. So you choose your topic according to what you spiritually need to focus on the most. Even think about it the night before. What's my meditation tomorrow going to be? So be encouraged, my dear brethren, in this great and most necessary spiritual practice, that of meditation, but again, let it also be mental prayer. Talk to our Lord heart to heart. By the way, this is also the value of the silence that we have in the traditional Latin Mass. In the new Mass, there's literally no silence, maybe a minute or two after their so-called communion, but it takes away that ability to let the Word of God soak into us. And that's, again, why we have the traditional Mass is so wonderful in so many ways. So let the Word of God be absorbed. Let it seep into you more and more, and you will absolutely become a better spiritual tree, and you will bring forth that good fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.